history is now eternal.
Tweede Wine Youth vir hierdie jaar. Hè? Is julle wakker? Is julle hier met my? Kan ons gou net 'n bietjie van 'n op en wakker. Woo, that's it. There we go. Hè? Woo! Ek kan julle nog nie lekker hoor nie. Kom al julle konservatiewe mense, gee my net gou 'n lekker, gee my 'n lekker wat kan ons gil? Kom ons gil. Happy die bra, relax net vir my. Het ek nie nou net gebid en gevra ons het net hierdie oomblik. Nou wil jy al gaan Happy New Year. Kom ons gil. Pankreas. So op 3. Ek gaan tel 1 2 3 en dan gaan ons almal gil pankreas. Is julle met my? Weet julle wat is pankreas? Wat? Nee, ons gaan stiek met pankreas. Jumanji is te obvious. Okay, is julle reg? Is almal reg? Okay, is almal reg. Okay, 1 Jere, help my met hierdie mense vanaand. Ek het hier hulp werklik nodig. Apparently is hulle allemaal doof en blind en dom. Kan ons gauw een keer weer traai, asblief. Het julle nie verstaan hoe dit werk nie? Dit gaan 1, 2, 3, pankreas! Right? 1, 2, 3! There we go! Well done! Gee julle self een hande klap. Julle het die werk van 'n 2-jarige reg gekry vanaand. Woo! All right. So tonight, enough of the silliness, let's get deep. Tonight, our question that we are talking about is, who is Satan? Who is the devil? Whatever you want to call him. Who is the accuser, the father of lies, the prince of darkness, Lucifer, the morning star, the bearer of light, whatever you want to call him. He has many names, but we are going to look at who he is tonight, where he comes from, and why is he here. Alright? Is julle met my? So, daar's twee main scriptures in die Bybel, wat ons naartoe kan. Ek kom net so in die ding in, en dan, damn klokkie, kan ek vra, kan iemand gou, Amy, sal jy gaan achter by Melissa, die sleutel is daar so, sal jy net vir my by haar die sleutel kry en dan oopsluit, sy sal vir jou wys wat is sleutel. Alright, let's go on. So we're talking about who is the devil, understanding the devil. Now as I was saying just now, before the clocky interrupted me, there are two main scriptures, and I'm going to give you a good way to remember these two scriptures. If somewhere down the line, someone starts asking you about these kind of questions, who is the devil, then you can direct them to these two scriptures. The first one is Isaiah 14. Die van julle wat Afrikaanse Bybel sê, Jesaja 14. Die tweede een is Ezekiel hoofstuk 28. Ezekiel 28. Now this is how you're going to remember this for the rest of your lives. 14 times 2 is what? 28. So, Isaiah 14 times 2, Ezekiel's 28. Vang julle dit? Equals Ezekiel's. Hoe dood is julle? Is julle net stupid? Alright. Isaiah 14 times 2, Ezekiel's 28, okay? Die twee is die hele main scriptures when it come by wie is die duivel. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. We're going to start with the second one for now. Ezekiel 28, and I'm reading from verse 13. Die van julle wat julle Bibles by julle het, but let's be honest, there's niemand nie, want julle het allemaal net apps. Maar die rest van julle kan op die screen kyk. You have the full measure of perfection and the finishing touch of completeness, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Almal sê vir my lekker jy. There we go. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden the garden of God. Now, let me pause there for a moment, because I don't want to jump to conclusions. I want to make a solid case tonight. I want to really prove to you that what I'm saying is not a bunch of nonsense. So let's go through this thing step by step. This is talking about the Garden of Eden. Now, from what I know, there were four beings present in the Garden of Eden. There was vier wesens daar gewees. Eerstens, or most obviously, was daar Adam and Eva, Adam and Eve. Then there was God. Scripture says that God walked with man through the garden, so God was present. And then there was the serpent. So that's the four characters that were present. Now, we know we can already rule God out, because listen to what it says. It says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. If this is talking about God, it would say, you were in Eden, in your garden. Okay? You get what I'm saying? Hoekom sal ek sê, God, jy was in die tuin, in God se tuin. Nee, God, jy was in jou tuin. Dis hoe mense praat. So we can rule out God. So that leaves Adam, Eve, and Steve. No, serpent. The serpent. It leaves Adam and Eve and the serpent. Okay, let's read on. So far, this can be either one of those three that this passage is talking about. Every precious stone was your covering. You were the anointed cherub who covers and protects, and I placed you there. A cherub is a type of angel. Now, the Bible talks about two types of angel, a seraph and a cherub. And the plural form of that is cherubim and seraphim. Okay? You'll see in Genesis chapter 6, it talks about the seraphim, and it talks about another type of person. It talks about Nephilim, but I'm not going to go into that tonight. Ek maak hierdie woorde op nie. Dit staan in die Bybels. Julle moet net vir 'n slag oopmaak en die stof afhaal. All right. So this is talking, whoever this is talking about, is talking about a cherub, an angel. Adam and Eve were normal human beings. So that rules out Adam and Eve. So now we know this is not talking about God. It's not talking about Adam, not talking about Eve. It is talking about the serpent, because that is the only other being that was present in the Garden of Eden. Now that we figure that out, let's read on. So you were the anointed cherub who covers and protects. Isn't that interesting? That was the serpent's original purpose, to cover and to protect. And I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God, which in my opinion is just a fancy way of saying you were in the heavenly realms with the celestial beings. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness and evil were found in you. Through the abundance of your commerce or your trade, you were internally filled with lawlessness and violence, and you sinned. And therefore, I have cast you out as a profane and unholy thing from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. First things first. If we look at this scripture, it's very clear to me that Satan, or the serpent, or whatever we're calling him, is a real living being. A lot of people think he's just some sort of idea, some sort of construct in our minds. Some people think he is the personification of evil, that he is just some sort of metaphor. Maar hy is nie. Hy is 'n werklikheid. Hy is 'n lewendige wese soos ek en jy. All right? So let's just figure that out. Someone once told me one day, we were talking about this type of thing, and he said, well, you know what, I don't believe in the devil and demons and all that kind of nonsense. I told him, well, you know, fine, whatever, that's up to you, but be careful, because he believes in you. He believes in you. He is a real living being, and he has an agenda. But we're going to get into that in just a bit. So, he's a real living being. What's the next question that popped up for me? Okay, if Satan is real, if he exists, where did he come from? Waar kom die duivel vandaan? Is it that he just always existed the same way God does? Or was there a time preceding the devil, a time that existed before the devil was made? I think the second one is more likely, because let's just go back to that scripture. Listen to what it says here. It says, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were what? Created. Yeah. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created. So he is, we know, a created being. That means he did not exist for all eternity. He does not exist outside of the confines of time and space. He doesn't exist in a state of perpetual eternity like God. God has no beginning, has no end. But this is very clear that the devil had a beginning. There was a time that he didn't exist, and then he was created. Now, next question I have is, who created him? Now, I know that it's a pretty obvious answer, but I want to, like I said, I really want to state my case tonight. Because it's a fascinating topic, isn't it? Is it nie vir julle, ek weet nie of dit net ek is nie, maar dit is vir my super interessant oor, om hieroor te praat. Maar omdat dit so interessant is, kan dit ook baie gevaarlik raak. Want mens wil nie jouself verloor in hierdie topic nie. Okay? Ultimately, what we are about at Vine Youth is God. We are not about the devil. But it is important to know that he exists, that he is real. Okay? So, who created the devil? The short answer is God. Because, and let me prove it to you, God is the only living being in all of existence that has this power, the power to create. Okay? Now, when I say create, I mean, I can create, you can create. As ek kan nou die speaker vat en hierdie lig vat en, kyk hier, kom ek, kan ek gou vir julle iets skep? Sê julle gou reg vir 'n wonderwerk. Kom ons doen gou 'n wonderwerk. Ek gou vir julle iets skep. Kom ons vat hierdie liggie. Julle almal kan hierdie liggie sien, hè? Sien julle hom? Hè? As julle retinas nou lekker uitgebrand, dis hoe ek voel elke donderdag. Okay. Kyk hierdie liggie, hierdie is 'n liggie. Hierdie, wat is hierdie? Hierdie is 'n music stand. Kyk nou hier. Wag vir, moenie julle ook knippie want hierdie gaan insane wees. Ja. Through the power of magnetism, het ek twee objects nou een gemaak. I have created. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. There we go. But that's not the type of creation we're obviously talking about. What I'm talking about is the power to create things out of nothing. Out of absolutely nothing. The way God did at the beginning of time when he created the very fabric of the universe out of absolutely nothing. Only God has that ability. So it's fair to assume that only God, he has to be the one who created the devil. Because there was nothing and then he created something. Okay? Now, next question I have. Why, and excuse the pun, why the devil did God create the devil? Why would God, if God is a loving God, why would he create such a dark and evil and devastatingly destructive being? Because he didn't. Okay, but hold up, you just said he did. No, I'm saying he created the devil. I did not say he created the devil evil. Listen to this. Let's go back to that same scripture again. It says, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness and evil were found in you. He was created blameless. He was created without sin. Same as you and I. Ek meen, ek weet, hier's van julle wat dink, jy het uit jou ma uitgekom toe jy klaar 'n roker, maar dit is nie hoe dit werk nie. Iewers het jy 'n besluit gemaak in jou lewe. Iewers het ek 'n besluit gemaak in my lewe. He was created blameless until evil and unrighteousness were found in him. So God created the angel. He did not create him to be evil. He did, however, give him the choice. Next question I had, and hopefully this is sort of in line with the questions that's popping up in your minds as well. Next question I had is, Why would he do that? Why would God give Satan the ability to choose? That doesn't make sense to me. Well, the answer is pretty straightforward. For the same reason he gave us free will. The same reason he gives us a choice. Because real love requires choice. As ek jou kidnap, né? En ek bind jou vas en ek bær jou iewers veilig in my garage. En ek forceer jou om vir my te sê jy's lief vir my. Ek sê vir jou, ek gaan almal wat jy oor omgee doodmaak tensy jy hierdie eenvoudige ding doen. Sê net vir my jy is lief vir my. Beteken dit jy is lief vir my? Nee. Dit beteken jy het gedoen wat jy moet om jou geliefdes veilig te hou. Real love requires choice. That's why God gives us free will. And not just us as human beings, but all of creation. He gave all of the angels free will. This is evidenced by the fact that the devil, who was an angel, had the choice to choose God or to turn from God. And obviously, as the story goes, he turned from God, being filled with vengeance and hatred, which led him to sin, which eventually led to him being fallen. All right, let's go to the next important passage in scripture. So we said Ezekiel 28, is the one we already read. What was the other one we said? Sevier? Isaiah 14, well done. Okay, Isaiah 14, reading from, is it omdat het klaar op die screen is? Isaiah 14, going to read from verse 13. But you said in your heart, you meaning the devil, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, I will sit on the mount of assembly in the remote parts of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now listen to this, I will make myself like the Most High. Two things that pop up for me in this passage. First one, when it says, I will raise my throne above the stars of God is probably just referring to the sons of God, which means the angels, the angelic beings. So he is saying, luister hier, Choma, ek gaan myself verhewe bo alle ander engele. Ek gaan die beste engel wees wat daar is. But not just that. Not only do I want to be better than all the other angels, I will make myself like the Most High. Isn't it interesting to you that he says, like the Most High? I mean, if God is Satan's ultimate adversary, his ultimate enemy, why would he want to be like God? Why not be better? Why not be stronger? Why not be greater? And this is why this is such an incredible scripture for me. Because indirectly, this is Satan confessing, this is Satan admitting that there is no greater power than God. That's why he says, I want to be like God, because he knows there's nothing greater. There's no being in existence more powerful. He is, in every sense of the word, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of everything and the end of everything. God is the ultimate power. If you want to argue with me about that, then, you know, yeah, fine, whatever. But I think, you know, I'm just going to go with scripture rather, because even the devil admits that God is the most powerful being in existence. Hence the fact that he doesn't say, I will raise my throne above the Most High. No, he says, I will make myself like the Most High. Another thing that I picked up when reading this, when you say that you want something, that obviously means that you don't currently have it. Okay? Ek soek hierdie ding, dit beteken ek het dit nog nie. Okay? So that's what this is saying. Satan is saying, I want to be like the Most High. In other words, I am not. I am not like the Most High. This brings me to the next part of my message. A lot of people think that Satan is sort of God's equal opposite. Like Satan is the yang to God's yin. You guys know yin and yang, that sign? Okay. The idea that in every evil, there must be a little bit of good. And in every good, there must be a little bit of evil. And that's how the universe balances itself out. But let me tell you now, that is stupid. let me use an example. That's like saying, Monique, we need to be really careful because Monique did so much good stuff today that we have to make sure that she messes up before the sun sets tonight. Otherwise, the world will explode because there's too much good. So we have to balance it out with a little bad. That doesn't make any sense. Okay? The devil does not exist to bring balance to the universe. The devil, and this might surprise you, the devil exists to glorify God, to worship God. That's why he exists. That is his original purpose. How can you say that? Let's go back to that scripture, that first one I read. Remember I told you? Where does it say now? Here. You were the anointed cherub who covers and protects. He was created to cover and to protect us, the creation of God. He was created as the ultimate worshiper, the most beautiful of all the angels. And then, what happened? Well, the Bible doesn't give us specific answers as to why Satan chose to go against God. But I think it's fair to say, based on what we do know of his character, that it had something to do with his pride. The same thing happened when Jesus was in the desert. And Satan approached the Son of God, attempting to go toe-to-toe with Jesus, and then failed miserably once again because of his pride, because of thinking that he could accuse and tempt Jesus. So I think it's fair to say that the fall of the devil had something to do with his own pride, with his own arrogance. All right, so Satan is not God's equal. He is not like the bad God and Yahweh is the good God. There's only one God. All right. And just in case you guys were still wondering about this, and I know this, hopelijk weet almal van julle hierdie, maar kom ek sê het maar net vir die wis en die onwis. Die duivel loop nie rond met 'n paar horingies op sy kop en 'n pitchfork en rooi tights nie. No, there's a reason he is given the title the father of lies. He is the ultimate deceiver. En daar is net te obvious. Ek ben amal gaan om recognize as hy so like. Tensy amal so like. Never mind. Rabbit hole. Die punt is, die duivel is cunning. He is one of, if not the most intellectually advanced created being in all of the universe. All right. Let's look at the powers and abilities that Satan has. I think it's important because I don't know if you guys have picked this up, but it's like when it comes to media, social media and movies and series and all that, I think we attribute way too much power to the devil and to demons. I'm not saying he's powerless. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the devil is no real threat to mankind. He is extremely powerful. He is way more powerful than you and I. But I think we still attribute too much power to Satan. So let's just get a realistic idea of what he can actually do and what he can't do. Okay, and I think the best way to do this is to compare his powers and abilities to that of God. Okay, so let's get into this. God has the power of creation. As I mentioned earlier, he can create stuff out of absolutely nothing. The devil does not have this power, but he has the ability to manipulate creation. Wat beteken dit? Dit beteken hy kan die waarheid verdraai. Hy kan die waarhede skep uit niks uit nie, maar hy kan die goed wat klaar bestaan, die waarhede wat klaar bestaan, hy kan dit vat en hy kan dit warp and twist and corrupt. Okay? Cool. Volgende een. God has the power of omnipotence. Wie weet wat dit beteken? All right, cool. Omnipotence is just a fancy way of saying all-powerful, which comes back to what I said earlier. He is the most high. He is the ultimate power. There's no power in existence that's stronger than God or that precedes God. God is omnipotent, meaning he is all-powerful. Satan is not all-powerful. He is very powerful, but there are limits to what he can do. And I'm going to prove that to you in a scripture just now. But let's go on. Okay, omnipotence. Next one. God has the power of omnipresence. Dit beteken, hy is altyd oral. He's always present everywhere. Not just in the now. So ja, God is nou hier saam met ons, terwyl hy nou in Taiwan ook saam met mense is op dieselfde tyd. Maar nie net dit nie, maar God leef buite tyd. So hy is, terwyl hy nou hier is, en hierdie mag ook nou jou brein so 'n bietjie breek, maar hoor my net uit, terwyl God nou hier is, is hy ook 10,000 jaar in die toekoms in tans. Vir hom is dit alles een. Gister, vandag, môre, 10,000 jaar van nou af, 10,000 jaar terug, dis alles vir hom een ding. Okay? He lives outside of time. Vir ons as mense sien ons tyd in 'n baie lineêre manier. Dit beteken ons leef in 'n tyd, in tyd op 'n reguit lyn. So, hier's punt A, en dan gaan tyd aan en ons kom eventually by punt Z waar ons doodgaan of van julle kom net tot by punt C want julle eet 'n klomp crap die hele tyd. Maar julle verstaan wat ek sê, jy begin hier en dit gaan daartoe waar vir God is dit nie 'n lineêre ding nie. En hierdie is nie 'n baie goeie beskrywing nie, maar dis die beste wat ek nou kan doen. Vir God picture dit meer as 'n sirkel. Asof tyd 'n sirkel is. Daar's nie 'n begin aan dit nie, daar's nie 'n einde aan dit nie. Dis alles net een. Okay? En God is in die middel van hierdie sirkel. So God is omnipresent. Satan is not. And once again, I'll prove that just now. God has the power of omniscience. He knows everything always. omniscient, and being omniscient means you know everything. You have all the wisdom, all the knowledge that exists forever and ever in the universe. That means that's why the Bible says things like he knows your thoughts even before you form them. He knows ridiculous stuff like how much hair is on your head. Okay? God knows absolutely everything. Once again, Satan does not have this ability. Now, I said that I would prove it, but before I prove it, let me just get to Satan. So we already mentioned he has the power to manipulate creation. We mentioned that he is given the title Father of Lies. And I said that he is the ultimate, most intellectually advanced deceiver or liar, or whatever you want to call it, in the whole entire universe as a created being. Obviously, he can't lie to God. He can't deceive God because God knows everything and is always present everywhere. So you can't deceive God. You can't catch him off guard. But he can deceive you because you are not omnipotent. You are not omnipresent. Okay? So he is the father of lies. And then lastly, he is given the attribute of accuser. He is the one that accuses. Literally in the Hebrew, the word Satan means accuser. Okay? That means, and that's what he does. From the beginning of time, the first thing we read about Satan, that's what he does. He accuses God of lying. He goes up to Eve saying, "Eet hierdie vrugte man, nee man, jy gaan nie dood gaan nie, God het vir jou gelieg. Al wat gaan gebeur is jy gaan soos God word as jy hierdie vrug eet." He accuses God of lying. And then Adam and Eve falls, and what does he do? He starts accusing Adam and Eve of sinning. That's what he does. As a pimper. So eenvoudig soos dit. Okay, so let's prove this. Who here has heard of a guy called Job? Job. Have you heard of a guy called Job? His name is Job. Seriously, like Job in the Bible. Yes. Okay, Ian, twee van julle. Uit hoeveel? 28. That's scary. Okay, Job in the Bible. Story goes like this. One day, Satan went up to God, because at that time he still had access, I guess, to God. So he goes up to God, and God says to him, "Look at my servant Job. He is righteous, he is blameless, he is like no other man on earth." And then Satan tells God, "Yes, but that's because you protect him all the time. If you removed your protection from him and allowed me to tempt Job, then Job would turn from you." And so God says, "Go for it." And so Satan tempts Job, and Job loses everything. He loses all his family, loses his friends, he loses all besittings, alles wat hy own, alles. It's a devastating tale, but never did Job turn against God. Never did Job accuse God, which is what the devil wanted. He wanted Job to accuse God. And never did Job do that. So why go through the effort of doing all this temptation of Job if you already knew how it was going to end? Then you wouldn't have done all that effort, which means Satan did not know the outcome. He didn't know how the story would end, which means he is not all-knowing. He's not omniscient. He's also not omnipresent, because that would mean he was there at the end of Job's story simultaneously while being there at the beginning of his story. And if that were true, once again, he would have known how the story turned out. He didn't, so he's not omnipresent. Okay? And we also know he's not omnipotent, all-powerful, because he goes up to God at a stage asking God's permission to kill Job. And then God refuses him, and he has to obey. Not necessarily because he wants to, but because he has to, because God is the ultimate power, and he knows it. Who here likes horror movies? All right, ek is in die regte crowd hierso. So ek was a massive fan op 'n stadium van horror movies. Ek was 11 jaar oud toe ek die oorspronklike The Exorcist gekyk het. Ek kan onthou daar was 'n stadium gewees een aand my maat netbal gespeel. Toe ons nog in die Kaap gebly het, so sy het action netbal gespeel. En ek en my sussie was alleen by die huis gewees. My pa het weggewerk op daai spesifieke aand. My sussie het vroeg gaan slaap en ek het oor die TV vir myself. En toe kyk ek 'n klein movietjie met die naam The Nightmare on Elm Street. En ek was soos 8 jaar oud of iets. Ek sal dit nooit vergeet, dit was nog een van die vet TV's, en hy het so die aan en af knoppie, so lang grys knoppie met 'n rooi, so klein rooi liggiekie aan die bokant, wat die liggie, as die TV af was, dan is hy liggie af, en sy anders dan skyn die liggie rooi. En eventually my ma, hy is toegekom, sy het my geskel, want hoekom is jy so laat wakker, jy moet gaan slaap, skool, bla bla bla, ja, okay, ek sal nou gaan slaap, en intussen probeer ek my trane terughou, want ek is terrified op hierdie oomblik, maar my ma mag jy dit weet nie, want sy mag jy weet ek die movie gekyk hier. Toe gaan slaap my ma, en my ma op 'n stadium, ek sit toe net voor die TV, vir soos 'n uur. Ek kyk niks, ek sit net daar. En eventually loer my ma die kamer uit, en sy roep in die gang af, my ouers noem my manne, ek gaan nie nou verduidelik, ek kom in lang story. Manne, dis laat, sit af die blerrie TV. Okay, my ma gaan terug in die kamer in, I kid you not, dit het so gelyk, as hierdie, Jackie, kom gaan hier. Kom staan gewees om. Dan maak jy vir my so. Right? Hierdie is die TV. Kyk, dis white noise. Anyway, hierdie is die knoppie. Dat het so gelyk toe ek die TV gaan afsit. Ek maak nie hierdie op nie. Oké, okay, dankie. Ek mag gaan sit. Kom, skiep vir Jackie en lekker aan die klap. Anyway, ek was skuitbang. Ek wou nie naby. Ek meen, dis Freddy Krueger vir pizza. Freddy Krueger. Nou het ek nou net Freddy Krueger gekyk. Nou sê jy vir my, ek moet gaan slaap. Are you kidding me? Dis waar hy operate. Anyway. So ek is 'n groot fan gewees van horror movies. Ek sê gewees. Dis nie dat ek nou all Christianese wil wees en sê, jy weet, van dat ek my hart vir die Here gee, kyk ek nie horror movies nie. Maar ek het agtergekom, horror movies of nie, daar is sekere goed wat ek net nie meer kan kyk nie. Want ek dink, soos wat jy ouer raak, begin jy 'n discernment op te bou, en jy begin, soos wat jou verhouding met die Here ook groei, begin dit vir jou makliker te raak, om die Here te voel operate in jou. En so daar het net 'n tyd gekom, so ek het niks teen enig iemand wat horror movies kyk, ek het al almal gekyk, maar daar het net op 'n stadium gekom, wat ek soos in my gevoel het, soos, hierdie is nie okay vir my nie. Daar is nog steeds vandag, soos ek sal seker horror movies nog steeds kyk, so dis die een rede hoekom ek ophou kyk. Die ander rede is net, let's be honest, soos hulle maak nie meer goeie horror movies nie. Soos dis net 'n klomp jump scares, daar is nie regtig 'n story nie. Steven Spielberg, amazing horror movie writer, ek het eendag 'n interview van hom gekyk, hy het gesê die probleem met horror movies vandag, is hulle skryf nie die story so, dat jy omgee oor die karakters in die story nie. Dis net jump scares, soos wow! Maar 'n goeie horror story is so geskryf dat jy gee om oor die karakters in die movie, which makes it so much more horrific when something happens to those characters. En ons kry net nie meer sulke tipe horror movies, so ek kyk nie reg meer. Anyway, punt wat ek probeer maak, is ek gaan nou met julle horror movie story deel. Alright? En dis 'n ware verhaal, it's not based on a true story, it is the truth. And it's in the Bible. It's in Mark 5, verse 1 to 8. It says, Jesus and his followers went across the lake to the area where the Gerasene people lived. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man came to him from the caves where the dead are buried. So kom ons kry net goeie prentjie hierso. Jesus het nou oor die see aangekom, bootjie daar gepark, uitgeklim, en toe staan hierdie heuweltjie met klippe, wat lyk soos 'n tipe van 'n tomb, en binne in hierdie tomb is 'n klomp grafte. En hierdie man het uit hierdie tomb uitgehardloop gekom en op Jesus afgestorm. Ek dink is fair to say, as ek op daai storm in Jesus se posisie was en sy skoene was, was ek sopnat. Soos, as jy weet, uit die graf uit na my toe aangehardloop kom, ja nee, gaan nie werk nie. I'm out. Anyway, it says, when Jesus got out of the boat, a man came to him from the caves where the dead are buried. This man had an evil spirit living inside him, so he was possessed. He lived in the burial caves. No one could keep him tied up, even with chains. Many people had to put chains on his hands and feet, but he broke the chains. No one was strong enough to control him. Day and night he stayed around the burial caves and on the hills. Daai on the hills, dis nie, hierdie is nie Bybels wat ek nou gaan sê nie, maar in my kop is dit soos, okay, so hierdie ou is 'n werewolf. Soos ek sien hom op die heuwel. Anyway. Anyway, nie die punt nie. On the bear goes on the hills. He would scream and cut himself with rocks. Why? Because the devil's aim is destruction. Isn't it funny, let's call it funny, let's use that word. Isn't it funny to you that never have you heard a story of, soos niemand sê, oh my word, ek is vandag so overjoyed dat ek myself gaan sny. Nee, wanneer sny jy jouself? Omdat jy sukkel om te deel met die hardheid van die lewe om jou, met die realiteit van lewe en die donkerte wat jy in die oomblik in is. En net om jouself op 'n punt te kry waar jy net iets verslag weer kan voel, dan doen jy dit. But it's never a good thing. It's never from a place of joy that you do that. Because Satan works in destructive ways. That is his aim, to destroy us. And so this man is cutting himself with rocks. While Jesus was still far away, the man saw him. He ran to Jesus. Listen, I was insane this is. And bowed down before him. As Jesus was saying, you evil spirit, come out of this man. The man stood, shouted loudly, what do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you in God's name not to punish me. God is the Most High. Proven once again by this story. Even the demons worship him. Even demons fall down at his feet and beg him not to punish them. He is the ultimate power. There is no power above that of God. So, I'm almost done for tonight. Game plan. What is the devil's game plan? So we've spoken about who he is, where he comes from, but let's talk about why is he here. Okay? So we know that the devil was with God in on the mountain of God. He was in the heavenly places with God, and then he was thrown out. Now, I don't like the word or the phrase thrown out or kicked out. I think it's not that accurate. I think it's more accurate to say he was forced to leave. Here's why I say that. When we say he was kicked out of heaven, it sounds like, you know, God lost his temper, want Satan was bietjie stout en toe skop hy hom uit die hemel uit. But that's not what happened. God is perfection. He is the ultimate holiness, which means no darkness can exist in his presence. Not because he chooses it like that, because that's just how it is. He is the ultimate light. So darkness can't be in his presence because darkness would instantly be destroyed. And so when Satan chose to turn against God, he was filled with vengeance and hatred, which led him to sin. Now he's filled with a sinful nature, which cannot exist in the presence of God, which forced him out of the heavenly places. Okay? And then what? Then he was on earth, and his mission is to take vengeance on God's creation. Why? I think, in my opinion, it's sort of a, I call it the John Wick dilemma. Ken julle John Wick? Nee? Alright, cool. So, ek dink julle gaan allemaal saam met my stem. Jy vat nie aan John Wick nie. En dis wat ek nou eindelijk wil sê, Louis. So, jy vat nie aan John Wick nie, want hy is John Wick. So, wat doen jy? Jy gaan vind uit wat hy die liefste voor is, en jy gaan maak dit seer. Jy gaan maak sy hond dood. Nou, ek wil probeer nie sê ons is honde nie. Maar, hoor net wat ek sê. So, I think it's sort of like that. The devil knows that God is untouchable. That he can't do anything to God directly. He can't kill God. He can't destroy him. He can't even hurt him, not even briefly. So, what is the second best thing he can do? He can go after the thing that God loves the most. Mankind, his creation. So he's out for blood, he's out for vengeance. And the way he does it is to tempt us. Now, what does this temptation look like? Remember, I said he's the father of lies, the great deceiver, but he can't create, he can only twist the truth. So it looks something like this. Sex in marriage is good, is real good. Trust me. Sorry, babe. Hi, Faith. Anyway, sex in marriage is a good thing. It is absolutely godly. Rape is absolutely horrific. It is utterly evil. There's nothing good about rape. It sort of looks like the same thing, you know, there's a guy and a girl, or a guy and a guy. The point is, it's not a love thing. It's a power thing. It's a dominance thing. It's not a godly thing. But both sort of look like sex. Money is not evil. The pursuit of money, that's something else. If money becomes your God, if all you think about all day, if everything you do is aimed at, ek moet net meer geld hê, so dat ek meer goed kan hê, then money becomes your God, which turns it into something evil. Money in itself is not evil, but warped by the lies of the devil, becoming a false god, then it's something evil. Alcohol is not evil. I love beer. Jesus drank wine. Alcohol is not evil. When alcohol becomes your God, when it becomes the thing that you can't go without, when it takes over your life, when God tells you, listen here, Herman, daar's niks fout met daai biertjie wat jy nou drink nie, maar ek sê jou nou al, sommer voor daar iets nog gaan gebeur, hierdie gaan lei tot die destruction van jouself, maar nie net van jouself nie, eers van jou familie en van jou vriende. So stop. As ek dan nie ophou nie, then it's evil. Not only am I then being disobedient to God, but I'm willfully being destructive. Then alcohol becomes an evil thing. The devil takes things that are good and then twists it and corrupts it and warps it. Something that at one stage was love now looks very close to love. But there's just like one or two things that are not exactly the same. So that's how the devil gets us. He's out for vengeance. He's out for blood. He wants to tempt us to fall like he did. And he does this by corrupting truth and twisting what is real and godly. Last thing I want to talk about. What is there that we can do? How do we fight back? I think that's sort of the where we're getting at with all of this. There's no nice om te weet, ja, daar's 'n duivel, hy's 'n werklikheid, Satan bestaan, it's real. Whether or not jy in dit glo, verander nie die feit dat hy is 'n werklikheid nie. Ons verstaan dat God het hom geskep, ons verstaan hy het vrye wil gehad soos die res van creation, so hy het gekies om teen God te gaan. Ons verstaan al daai goed. Great. Wat moet ons nou doen? How do we fight back? Now the bad news is you don't. God is far more superior in power in any way than the devil. That does not mean the devil is harmless. He is far stronger than you and I. Maak nie saak hoe slim jy dink jy is nie. As jy sonde toelaat, alles in dit is net 'n klein sondetjie, is net 'n wit leentjie. Dit gaan jou consume. Dit mag dalk volgende week gebeur. Dit mag dalk 7 jaar van nou af gebeur. Maar dit gaan jou consume. The Bible doesn't say sometimes sin leads to death. It just says sin leads to death. Not big sins leads to death. Sin leads to death. You can't play around with the devil. He is stronger than you are. He's smarter than you are in every way. So what can you do? Not much or anything really. The good news, however, is scripture teaches us that we shouldn't have to do anything. All you need to do is stand strong. All you need to do is to stand strong. To know what you stand for. There's an old saying, maybe some of you have heard it. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. All you have to do is to stand strong. How do you stand strong, Herman? Last scripture. Let me end off with this. Ephesians 6 verse 10 and 11. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from Him. In other words, don't stand in your own strength. Draw your strength from Him and be empowered through your union with Him. In other words, be empowered through the connection you have with God, the relationship you have with Him. And in the power of His boundless, in other words, limitless might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to successfully, what? Stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. All you have to do is to stand strong. Put on the armor of God. How do I put on the armor of God? I'm going to stop here for tonight because I think this is a mouthful. Ek dink hier was nou nogal klomp informasie vir vanaand. En ek wil hê julle moet almal aan die slaap raak hier. Ek gaan volgende week, as julle okay is daarmee, dan wil ek bietjie in detail praat net oor hoe doen ons dit? It says put on the armor of God, but what does that mean practically for me in my life? How do I put on the armor of God in order to stand strong against the lies and deceit and destruction of the enemy, aka Satan?